And that lies at the very center of what I have to tell you now. Jean-Luc Picard is back.
Okay, hey there, and welcome to another microbrew episode of the Three Drinks In podcast. I am your host, Vince. Over there is your host, Phil.
Hey.
There's Phil. We are going to tackle a few brief topics today, but before we do that, I want to remind you that Three Drinks In is available on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio. Just search for Three Drinks In podcast. You'll easily find us. Click subscribe, tell your friends, leave a review. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at @3drinksinpod. That's at @3drinksinpod. Like us on Facebook and email us 3drinksinpodcast, all one word, at gmail.com. All right, so a lot of big news the last week or so, give or take.
Big if you're a dork.
Big if you're a dork. Although the Hollywood news was fairly big, that made the circuit. But we'll go with the dork stuff first. New Star Trek series starring Patrick Stewart once again as Captain Jean-Luc Picard. Announced at the Las Vegas Star Trek convention, which I think is their big one. All the big ones happen in Vegas, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, these same jackasses who are making Star Trek Discovery, I don't know how they... What did they do beforehand? Do you know who these people are?
No, I don't know who they are.
Yeah, I should probably...
spent enough time criticizing them, but I don't know.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I actually just watched a few minutes of it. It's like 13 minutes long if you go to the StarTrek.com website and, you know, look for, like, you know, Patrick Stewart... announcement video, and it's over 10 minutes before they even get to what he was there to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And like he says, like, we haven't written any scripts yet. We haven't, you know, we're just talking, lots of talking, he says. And I'm thinking to myself, this guy's not buying green bananas.
Yeah.
if they're going to come out and say we've got a new series coming out with Patrick Stewart, who is 78 years old as of this, right? I mean, it's one thing to say we're going to make another movie with a guy who's 78. That's not ridiculous, you know. And as far as I can tell, the man's in good health. You know, he's not freaking Oliver Reed, for crying out loud.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he is not a young man. He's knocking on the doors of 80. And, you know, if they haven't even, you know, written a word down, they might want to get going on that if they're going to bring this to market. This is a pretty big deal. I don't blame him for doing it, but I kind of question, like, you know, the practical aspect of bringing back a septuagenarian for what I could only imagine is a fairly intensive shooting schedule. If you're looking at, you know, Star Trek Discovery as an example of what the show might look like. But also there's the question of what the freak is this going to be about? Do you have any idea what they could, we joked on Instagram the other day about all the possible sort of like Family Guy type scenarios where they talk about, you know, the aging Picard in a nursing home, for crying out loud. But, you know, is there a real thing they could do with this?
I don't think so. I don't know. I mean, I find it, I criticized people when Star Wars came out with Mark Hamill, The Last Jedi, and everyone was like, oh, it didn't come out the way I thought it would be, and yada yada. Basically because they had taken the character in a different direction than everyone had it in their heads. And I'm a little guilty of that here because, like you said, practical reasons. So in my head, when you're that old on a show, should you still be flying through space? Like, should you still be the captain? you know, wouldn't you retire after a while? People I know now retire at 33 when they can get away with it.
Yeah.
So I'm supposed to believe this, and I know they live longer in the future, but you're almost 80, and you're the struggles of being a captain would be difficult even if you were young. So,
well, I mean, I would hope that he wouldn't still be Captain Picard at 80. I mean, I think that would be silly in a variety of ways, but...
So, like, if you can't be a captain, then what are you supposed to be?
Yeah, and that's what I've been trying to figure out. Like, there was always little, I guess, jokes or things here and there on the show where in some kind of an alternate future or, like, alternate reality, he was always, like, Ambassador Picard, or he had some kind of other role. He was Admiral Picard. Yeah, something like that. So maybe they're going to go in that. But, I mean, I could never have pictured the bullshit that they came up with for Discovery. Like, one of the reasons I was so offended by it was just because, like, it was so outside of what I thought it was going to be. Because it just wasn't Star Trek at all, mm-hmm. Then, like, I'm sort of at, like, it's like someone said to me, you know, well, Donald Trump can't possibly win re-election. I went, well, I didn't think he could win election. So, like,
yeah.
What the hell do we all know? I mean, no one thought this was going to happen. It's not the same stakes as a silly TV show. But, you know, if they're going to go in such a bizarro direction for Discovery, who's to say what the hell they're going to come up with for Patrick Stewart to do? And he's certainly, what concerns me about it, which is an awkward word to use, concern, but he's never liked a lot of the stiff Star Trek-y stuff that he did. Like, as he's gotten older and he's chosen different kinds of roles, he talks about how, you know, he doesn't love talking Trek stuff with fans and... You know, he wants to be known for doing other things. That's why he did Blunt Talk on Stars. Really sort of off-the-wall things to get people out of the idea that he's this stiff, stodgy British actor, which is pretty much what he is, but he just has a good sense of humor about himself. I wonder if they're going to go in that direction, which is how they got him on board. If he said, like, I'll do it again, but I'm not going to do the exact same thing. I have to be different and interesting.
I guess. I find that a lot of these reboots, they're like Roseanne, and they're going to do Murphy Brown, I'm seeing commercials for now. People want these things to be the same way they were because of nostalgia. And the Next Generation ended that way. They rode off into the sunset in Deep Space Nine. They sent them all in different directions. They ended that show, and everybody went somewhere else. And they were like, "We're if they wanted to do another thing again, they couldn't because we've broken up the gang." So I think in hindsight, that was a good idea, because now it's like, are we supposed to see everything the same? I mean, he's an old captain, everyone working for him, they never moved on, they didn't have lives of their own. I know they made the movies, but those can always be, you know, fixed and stuff. So I don't know what they're gonna do. I think they've put themselves in the position where if you put them all in the way they were, no one's going to really be happy. If you change everything, people are really not going to be happy. So you kind of like put yourself in a corner.
I actually don't think they're going to bring back anybody else. I think it's just going to be him.
Well, that would make sense.
Yeah, it would be the smartest thing they could do, because, I mean, first of all, he still kind of looks like he did. You know? Like, he physically sort of resembles himself, you know, because he's been bald for so long, so he doesn't look too much different than he used to. It just looks older. But, you know, Jonathan Frakes has put on a few pounds, and, you know, Michael Dorn, you can kind of do it because all the heavy makeup, you can do it whatever you want with him. But I mean, Marina Sirtis has aged gracefully, yeah, well, but she's aged, and so has Gates McFadden, and all these. And they don't have the same interest in doing this, I think, as he does. I don't know where his interest comes from. Maybe it's this bizarro Picard that they want to show off. But I have, like, visions of him being kind of like Logan, where he's Professor X in the future, but he's all senile and crazy.
Yeah, and is that really what people want to watch?
I don't think it'll be that. I think I don't think he'll be out of control, but I think he'll be. They'll do something different with the character, because that's what they want to do. They really don't want to do the same thing. They just want to rip from it. Like there was a thing I saw recently about how they're going to bring Spock into this new season of Discovery, and they do this incredibly bullshit line where they say it's a totally reimagined Spock that'll eventually sync up to the canon character. What? This is not Miller Lite, okay? This is not how this works. You can't have great taste and less filling. You either have one or the other. Mm. And I mean, the thing that kills me, you know, when they talk about canon and all that kind of crap, which I don't care that much about, it just the feel of it, you know, that like it's to say to me, we're going to do this insanely weird thing, but don't worry, you big nerds, we'll line it all up just the way you like it, you know, by the end. They're the ones that keep bringing that up. It's 5 years in the story difference between Captain Kirk and this, you know, and this current cast of characters. You mean that Spock is so different 5 years out from where, you know, from where he is when you first meet him? Because their whole thing is like, and this is the real stretch, but like in the unaired pilot, The Cage, where you have Captain Pike instead of Captain Kirk, and Spock is behaving kind of strangely. He's smiling. He's doing all this weird kind of stuff in it. They're going to say that they're using that as their excuse to make a weirdo Spock for this show. Because in reality, it's supposed to be that episode takes place years before the first one with Kirk that I can't recall the name of. So, like, we're really stretching it, guys. Like, it's just silly. They don't actually care about that. They're just using it as an excuse to do something, you know, that they want to do with somebody else's idea.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see what they do with it. I'll watch an episode or two. I love Patrick Stewart. He's one of the greatest actors I've seen, you know, but he's not, you know, it's possible for him to make a bad movie, you know.
Yeah. What was that show on Showtime? Blunt Talk?
Blunt Talk.
It was horrible.
It wasn't very good, no.
And weird. I didn't like it at all.
No. Like he was still good in it, but like it was just so bizarre.
Yeah, no, I didn't like what I was even watching. So
yeah. So we'll see, but
okay.
Apprehensive. Next up is to talk about the recent announcement from the Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. What is it? The American Motion, the Oscars. Are now going to have a Best Achievement in Money Making Award.
Uh-huh.
I guess is what the popular film is going to be.
Well, it's a popular film. Best popular film.
Best popular film.
Isn't that sort of like a, well, I guess more things can be popular. But they haven't said how that's going to be given out, I guess, with money.
So they announced, for those of you living under a rock, that they're going to have a separate category. They have three now categories for full-length films. Best Picture, Best Animated Feature, which means that no longer will you have a Beauty and the Beast thing where you have the animated a picture sneaking into the regular category, and then the Best Popular film. And right, yeah, they didn't bother to tell you what will constitute a popular movie. If it's, I mean, I think the reason they did is because there's really no way to do that besides money. Like, what are they going to make you do, sign in to every time you go see a movie? So it's the number of actual people who saw your film versus, so like no repeat business will help you in this case.
Yeah, I don't know. And what about stuff that's popular? Things don't get popular right away. They like usually take a little bit of time.
Well, there's two ways to look at this. The first way is the obvious way, which is that like by pointing out these are the popular films, you're highlighting the fact that every other movie you're talking about is an unpopular movie. And I heard a podcast today with Rob Long talking about this. He says like what they don't realize is that their industry is over, and they, and you know, essentially, people want to watch things on television because there's better things being produced on television. And you know, young kids want to watch things only on their phones. They have no interest in going anywhere to do anything. And so the Oscars has become basically like a film festival, whereas years ago it was a summation of the year's achievements and talking about which of these things were the best. Now it's a, here's, you know, 5 to 9 movies you've never heard of or performances you haven't heard of, and this is what you should go and see. Because, like, you know, no one saw Moonlight until it won Best Picture, and then everyone saw Moonlight. Or not everyone, but a lot of people did. So they give boosts to films that didn't have an audience, but were good enough to get recognized. And so by pointing that out, you're just kind of signaling, like, we have no idea what we're doing and everything. You know, no one is going to see these films. And so, you know, we can't, you know, give Best Actor to the guy that plays T'Challa, and, you know, because it's just not, you know. So there's that way of looking at it. And then there's the way of looking at it that says, you know, why not honor, you know, the films that are popular in a way, and say, like, these movies are actually the ones people are going to see. And rather than, you know, reevaluating the award structure, maybe we should take a look at what we consider to be quality. I don't know. Different thoughts about it. But ultimately, it just seems that they're waving a white flag of surrender they think will kind of split the baby. I don't think it'll do that.
No, well, they're trying to get people to watch the show.
That's true.
And the problem with that is that nobody wants to watch the show because it's stupid. It's a stupid award show. And it's more than ever. I mean, yes, people don't want to watch movies as often. They go to stay home. People don't want to sit down and watch an award show for things that they're not a part of. I mean, we have a hard time sitting through things that we already do. Like, if I'm at work and we're giving out awards at a dinner or a dinner benefit or whatever, I don't want to be there for that. And I work there, for God's sakes. So I don't work in Hollywood. I have no connection to these films except the things that I saw and or liked. So if all they're going to do is have a show where they pat themselves on the back about things that they like, that the majority of people don't like, then I'm not going to watch. And most people aren't going to watch. And it gets frustrating as a mouth breather, let's say, when, okay, we, like, you and I watch a ton of superhero things, and a lot of them aren't good enough to win awards like that, which is fine. But what if people who like horror movies? There are some good horror movies out there that they're better than just sound design or, you know, special effects makeup and things like that. So how come they can't even get nominated? And that was the big scandal when The Dark Knight didn't get nominated. 2008, remember? Mm-hmm. People were, I think, were more pissed that it just wasn't even in the consideration. You know, the people, the movies from 2008, Atonement, I didn't see that. Juno was fine. I wouldn't see it again. Michael Clayton, I'm not going to watch that. Was it better than No Country for Old Men? Probably not. I think There Will Be Blood was the winner that year. That's a good movie. Yeah. But it wasn't even a consideration. Like, well, then we'll make it 10 movies instead of 5. And they still didn't put anything like that in there. So people were like, wow, you know, these people really don't get it. They just don't understand.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that I, you know, heard, you know, and I kind of, like, I knew this, I just didn't really think about it, was that, like,
So here's the popular movie for the rest of you slobs and knuckle-dragging morons.
Yeah, I mean, there's really no way to look at it. But, like, you're right, like, they didn't even bother to nominate a single movie. Like, that would have been better than this. It was after The Dark Knight, you know, was totally ignored, and they increased the thing, and they still didn't bother. Like, if they had thrown, like, you know, The Winter Soldier a bone or something like that, like, one of these movies, you know, would have been in there. Like, and there was a big thing when Wonder Woman didn't get a nod. Not that I felt that it was particularly snubbed, because it wasn't that good. But, you know, they don't even do that. And that's something that they could do very easily, and it wouldn't have to win, and they would score some points with in that case, with a lot of different people. But they didn't even bother to do that.
The longer they don't do that, the worse it's gotten. So, like, The Dark Knight was 10 years ago, and Wonder Woman is not anywhere near the level of that, let alone stuff that deserves to win. But the people's resentment just sort of builds. So it's like, oh, I didn't give it to Dark Knight. They can't even give it to Wonder Woman. You know, next thing you know, like, they won't even get it to Ernest Scared Stupid. I don't understand. You know, like, just you're making it worse, man. Hire a PR firm and get this under control if it's that important to you to get people watching your dumb award show.
Yeah. I mean, I guess looking at it as a film festival and not as an award show sort of makes it make more sense as to why they would care. Like, people are making money off of this. The, you know, I guess the, you know, the Academy, you know, sells the rights to the broadcast, in this case to ABC. So, which is kind of funny because now this is a category populated entirely by Disney films.
Mm-hmm.
I lost my train of thought there. Jesus Christ. But, that's gone. That's annoying. It's the worst.
What are you drinking? What are you drinking over there?
Nothing. I didn't have a single thing to drink. Anyway, but it's stupid. I think it's going to backfire on them, and it just sort of signals that they don't really care that much, and it's just they're going to, you know, it's literally a way to say, okay, here, you know, is 10 minutes worth of our time to say these movies were also attended, you know, by the rest of you, and it's it's obvious and clunky and kind of like, what the hell are you people thinking?
Yeah.
So anyway. All right. Last but not least, the kerfuffle caused on the internet by Vanity Fair or Variety. Somebody said that Idris Elba was now in the running to replace Daniel Craig as the next James Bond in the next James Bond franchise. And this happened before. I want to say a year ago, 2 years ago, when someone floated his name out as a possible replacement for Craig. And what's annoying about this thing that keeps happening is that it's not going to be him, and it's not for the reason that people are worried that it's going to be. Everyone's like, oh my God, a black James Bond? That's, you know, and like, and I don't think you hear as many people saying that it can't, that James Bond can't be black, as you have people saying that there are people saying that you can't have a black James Bond. So it's sort of like a complaint without a cause in a way, which sort of drives me nuts. But the reason, do you know the reason why Idris Elba won't be the next James Bond?
You think he'll be too old?
Yes.
I don't think he'll be that old.
He is currently 45.
So?
I want to say.
Roger Moore did those till he was 90.
Yeah, but he didn't start when he was 90.
Well, he doesn't have to do 40 of them.
He doesn't have to do 40 of them. But okay, so Daniel Craig, when Casino Royale came out in 2006... Daniel Craig was 38 years old. That means when he was cast in the role, he was at most 36. I mean, these films take about a year or so to shoot, 9 months to a year to shoot, and then he has much time, you know, in the post-production. So we're talking about, we're going to say, you know, at minimum, you know, 18 months to a year's germination, you know, from one point to the end. So if Craig still has, I guess they're shooting it now. The next one that's not going to come out till 2020?
I haven't heard anything.
So let's just, you know, take a minute and next James Bond movie release supposed to be, yeah. So the next one's going to come out in 2019, so it's next November. That's his last movie he's done. All right, we go and find the next one. So by the time they get around to casting it, it'll be 3 to 6 months later, and then they got to shoot that. He's going to be 48, 49 by the time this thing comes out. You don't want to sign a guy at the tail end of middle age to one movie or two movies. You want to get a few years out of him. So it's just not going to happen. And I'm an enormous Idris Elba fan. I'm a big fan of his show Luther from the BBC, which he was great in that show. And I hope they're making more of those, because he could do that forever. Cop shows, you know, they have a longevity that James Bond doesn't have. But that's just not going to happen. Logistically, it can't. And that's disappointing for a lot of people. And I think, it would be great to have him as James Bond.
I don't care about this at all, which is not to say that I'm ignoring you. It's that I feel like people randomly picked a black guy and knew and said, let's make him be James Bond because we're mad about all the white people that have been James Bond. Like, it reminds me of the Doctor Who thing. They've had 12 Doctor Whos, and they're all stuffy old white men and David Tennant. And,
and one wiry Scottish woman.
And not one, and they hired one, and maybe she's good at it. I don't know. Doctor Who's a stupid show. But I never once in all that time heard a good argument as to why it should be a woman, except that it hadn't been yet. And I don't think that's a good enough reason. And it's the same thing with this. It's like, not once have I ever read, not even at the Nerdist, where they have way too much time on their hands and they're constantly looking for clicks online. What's the reason we should have Idris Elba be James Bond? Because he's black. Yes. And like you say, he's old. So I agree with you in that I don't think they would hire him because you're right, he is old. And there's thousands and thousands of other younger black men who could be James Bond. Yuzhefor comes up a lot.
Yeah, sure. And then the guy, I was thinking, like once I found out that the guy from Get Out was British, and I was like, oh, yes, that makes Daniel Kaluuya, I believe is how you say his last name. Yeah, I mean, that makes a lot of sense to me, too, to have someone like that. Like, not Tom Hardy. Tom Hardy's kind of in the same boat as Idris Elba. He's not. He's in his early 40s, but still in his 40s. You want to find a guy who's like 34 now, just to get some life out of them, you know?
What, you got to explain to me why it should be the way that you want it to be.
What, the age thing?
If he's going to be black or white or whatever. If it doesn't matter, then just say, we don't care, we just want a new actor and this guy's the best. He just happens to be black. I'm fine with that. But when they cast Daniel Craig and everyone gave them shit because there's always a small group of people that don't like that stuff, they were like, he's smaller, more compact, more muscular than Pierce Brosnan. And that's going to be reflected in the movie. And it was. He was like more brutish because he was new at it. Yeah. You know, it had a bearing on why they cast him. So cast a black guy, cast a white guy, but don't make it a crusade if you don't have a reason for it.
Yeah, I mean,
hire a black guy to be the new Mission Impossible character and I'd be happy because we'd have a new character who happens to be black. We can retire Tom Cruise.
Oh, no, he'll live forever.
Yeah, apparently. So,
but
that's every time it annoys me when they drag up Idris Elba's name because, like, you're right, he's too old. And I'm also like, again with this. Like, okay.
Yeah, no, it seems. But yeah, at the end of the day, you're right. There's no reason for. I mean, it's fun to kind of speculate, and I actually have the website here that has all the odds makers. You know, there's apparently this is big business in England, because the gambling rules in England are different. Like, there's casinos, like with slot machines all throughout Leicester Square and, you know, really busy kind of crazy places. So gambling is a different kind of thing there. And they take odds on who's going to. So right now, Elba is listed as the favorite with odds 10 to 11, which you don't want to bet on the guy who's going to lose you money. Tom Hardy coming in number second. Some guy named James Norton, who I don't know. Cillian Murphy is on here. Any female is somewhere up there. Tom Hiddleston keeps getting mentioned as this, also kind of old. Michael Fassbender in the same boat. Henry Cavill, which I think they would, an enormous mistake to cast Henry Cavill because he's not that good an actor. Good old Jude Law here. But then like guys like Dan Stevens show up too. And, you know, those of you who are big fans of Downton Abbey will know Dan Stevens as Matthew from Downton Abbey, who, like many actors on that show, left to pursue a career in Hollywood only to essentially vanish in Hollywood. I think he played the Beast in Beauty and the Beast opposite Emma Watson.
Oh.
So you saw him for maybe 6 minutes of screen time, you know, and that was still him walking on stilts in a big weirdo, you know, gimp suit, all bigged up to make him look large, but that's what he's been doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think it's silly. I think you're right though, that like if you're gonna cast someone, cast them because they can do the job, not because of their skin color. This seems obvious to us, but apparently not to everybody.
So anything else?
No, that's just about it.
Okay.
Looking forward to applying to work at the Space Force pretty soon. That'll be exciting.
Yeah.
Got to enlist.
So. Way less in space, everyone. Yeah.
It's very exciting. If you have any thoughts as to the things we just discussed and you want to tell us what they are, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at 3DrinksInPod. That's at the number 3DrinksInPod. Like us on Facebook. Email us 3DrinksInPodcast@gmail.com. We're available on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio. Click subscribe, tell your friends, leave a review. As always, please drink responsibly, and we'll talk to you all next time.
Yes, take care.
Bye.